نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The Sheikh, he continues, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, with the next level from the levels of Islam. So he said that Islam is of three levels. What are they, Faisal? Islam, Iman and Ihsan. You have to be on the ball, as they say. Three levels. And so we've discussed the level of Islam, and inshaAllah we're now going to discuss the level of Iman. So he says, المرتبة الثانية الإيمان وهو بدء وسبعون شعبة فأعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. He says the Iman, it has 70 odd branches. Bid'un, he says, Bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba. He says, this bid'un on top of 70 branches. And bid'un is a number between 3 and 9. Is any of these numbers between 3 and 9 is bid'un. So it's 70, between 73 and 79 branches. In another narration in Bukhari, or rather this is what the Shaykh says, but this comes from a hadith in Bukhari in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Imanu bid'un wa sittuna shu'ba. The Iman is bid'un, 3 to 9, and 60 branches. And another narration, الإيمان بدءٌ وسبعون شعبة. The Iman is 70 and this bid'un branches, 73 to 79 branches. فَأَعْلَاهَا قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So the highest of these branches is a statement, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَدْنَاهَا إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. And the lowest of it, of these branches, is a statement, or is the removal of something harmful from the tariq, from the path. وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِّنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And haya, modesty, or a sense of shame, is a part or a branch of Iman. So we explained yesterday, so I won't actually repeat it inshallah, for those who weren't here, you can get the tapes. Explained the issue that Iman is statement and action, statement and action, and it lives in the heart, on the tongue, and upon the limbs. And this is what this hadith is, or the hadith that he mentioned, or the hadith that he's quoting without quoting. He said Iman is 70 odd branches. This is actually from a hadith. So in that hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that Iman lies in the heart, on the tongue, and upon the limbs. وَأَرْكَانُهُ سِتَّةٌ. And its pillars, the pillars of Iman, are six. The six pillars. أَنْ تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ that you believe in Allah, in His books, sorry, in His angels, in His books, in His messengers, in the last day, and that you believe in Qadr, or predestination, the good and the bad thereof. So he says, he brings six pillars of Iman. Each brother can give me one pillar, inshallah. The first pillar, belief in Allah. Second one, angels, books, messengers, last day, Qadr, the good, the bad thereof. Then he brings evidences in his usual fashion. وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَىٰ هَذِهِ الْأَرْكَانِ السِّتَّةِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَىٰ لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَدَلِيلُ الْقَدْرِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَىٰ إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. He said the evidence for these six pillars is the statement of Allah the Most High that birr or righteousness is not that you turn your faces to the east or to the west, but rather righteousness is the righteousness of those who truly believe in Allah, in the last day, in the angels and the books and the prophets. That's five of the pillars. And the sixth one is in the next statement of Allah, indeed we have created all things in accordance with a pre-decreed measure, in Qadr, with a Qadr, predestiny. So the belief in Allah, and this I've taken from Ibn Uthaymeen's works, the belief in Allah includes four things. Four things the belief in Allah includes. Firstly, in the existence of Allah, wujud. Secondly, in His Lordship. Thirdly, in His names and attributes. And fourthly, in His worship, i.e. that we worship Allah alone, and all worship is directed to Allah in His uluhiyyah. And because this is the subject of the first part of the risala of this treatise, inshallah I think it's sufficient that we just go back and we've covered this, inshallah. The second pillar of Iman is the belief in Allah's angels. And likewise, this is encompasses four matters. The first is in the existence of the angels. So we believe that the angels exist. The second is that we believe generally in the angels, those angels whose names we don't know. And also, we believe specifically in those angels whose names we know. For example, we know the angel Jibreel. We know Mikael and so on and so forth. We know them by name. So we have specific belief in Jibreel, in Mikael and so on. And also we know that Allah has, for example, 70,000 angels visiting the Baytul Maqdis. Baytul Ma'mun. Every single day. And none of them ever returning to this house. And it's like the Kaaba for the people of, for the angels and the people of paradise. None of them ever return to this house. You can imagine how many millions and billions, in fact trillions, of angels that Allah Ta'ala has. So we have a general belief in these angels. So we have a general belief in those angels whose names we don't know, and a specific belief in those angels whose names we know. Thirdly, we have belief in what we know from their attributes. For example, we know that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Jibreel in his original form. In his original form. And he had over 600 wings, or 600 wings, and he was covering the whole horizon. We have belief in this. Likewise, we believe that Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of a man. Dressed in white, with black hair. None of the Sahaba knew him, but he had no signs of traveling. Jibreel alayhi salam. And he came to teach them the religion. So we have belief in what we know of their attributes. Fourthly, we have belief in what we know of their deeds. Their actions. So for example, we know that there are angels who make tasbih of Allah. They glorify the praises of their Lord. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Without any boredom, without any slackness, without falling asleep. They're just worshipping Allah. We know also that they don't disobey Allah. Angels do not disobey Allah. Iblis was not an angel, as a Christian claim. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ Allah said, he was of the jinn. He wasn't an angel. The angels do not disobey Allah. As Allah says in the Quran. So we have belief in their deeds. We know angels like Jibreel alayhi salam, and his job is to send the risala or the nubuwa or the messengership, prophethood, the message to the Prophet. This was the job of Jibreel. As we know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was 40 years old in the cave, Jibreel came to him and said, "Iqra, read." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I cannot read." He squeezed him and said, "Read." He said, "But I cannot read." He squeezed him a third time and said, squeezed him again and said, "Read in the name of your Lord who created." And until the end of the about 5 verses of Surah Al-Alaq. Mikael, who's in charge of Al-Qatr, or the rainfall and plants, we know specifically Mikael, we know about him specifically. We know about the Malikul Maut, the angel of death. Many people believe that the angel of death, his name is Israel or something. Israel is actually a false concept, as Ibn Uthaymeen explains in his explanation of Al-Wasitiyah, explanation of Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. He explains, Ibn Uthaymeen says, there's no evidence that the name of Malikul Maut is Israel. There's no evidence for this. So we just call him by the name that Allah has given him, or not the name, but the description, which is Al-Malikul Maut. Al-Malikul Maut. Malikul Maut. The angel of death. So he takes the souls of the people at the time of death. We know that Israfil blows a trumpet on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. There are many benefits in believing in the angels or fruits. For example, we are aware of Allah's greatness, His power, His authority. Because if we look at the greatness of the angels, for example, Jibreel had 600 wings, covered the horizon, it's quite great. Then imagine the greatness of the Creator, Rabbul Alameen. We can, and this I think is a very important concept, and it actually, it's something that I myself thought about in Mecca, sitting on the top floor of the Kaaba, Masjid al-Haram. When you look around and you see the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people going around the Kaaba, and you find, and you look at all these people trying to please Allah, trying to worship Allah. And you think how small you are, what a speck you are. And then when you think about the angels, how some of them are worshipping Allah night and day without any slackness, without any boredom. Our worship is nothing compared to the worship of the angels. وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And Allah is free from any need of the angels, or of the creation of the alameen. So we think, subhanAllah, it should make us humble, increase us in humility, in khushu'. Then we think, subhanAllah, look at these angels, how they worship Allah, my worship is nothing. And yet Allah Ta'ala is going to reward us, inshaAllah. Look how merciful our Lord is. It is really a point to ponder, and this is what belief should do to us. Aqidah should not be something academic. It should be something that makes us think, and should make us increase our iman, increase our fear of Allah, our hope in Allah, our love of Allah, and so on. Then we have the belief in the books. We have the belief in the books. And this also encompasses four things. Firstly, belief that all books the descent of books, of all the books, is truly from Allah. The first thing. The second thing is that we believe in the books whose names we know. We believe in them specifically. And those whose books, whose names we do not know. We have a general belief in those. So for example, we know that the Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the last and final testament, if as some people say. That the Torah was revealed to Musa alayhi salam. That the Injil was revealed to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. That the Zabur was revealed to Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. We have to have a belief in a specific book by each one. We know as-suhuf Ibrahim wa Musa. As-suhuf are the scriptures of Ibrahim and the scriptures of Musa. And some scholars, there's a difference of opinion, some scholars say that the suhuf of Musa, the scriptures of Musa, they're the same as the Torah. And other scholars, they say no, the suhuf, the scriptures of Musa, are something different. And the Torah is something different. He had two sets of books given to him. And Allah knows best the most correct opinion. Thirdly, we must attest to the authenticity of all the news in the book, of everything that is in this book. We should attest to the authenticity of all that. And fourthly, we should act by the book that is sent to us in those things that have not been abrogated. And stay away from the prohibitions that have not been abrogated. These are four things concerning the belief in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's books. So we can see great fruits from the belief in the books as well. We see and acknowledge, we should acknowledge, Allah's concern for His creation, the fact that He actually sent down books, guiding them to the truth. Guiding them to the truth. We recognize the wisdom of Allah in His Sharia. Whenever He legislates something, there is some wisdom in this. And He legislated for each nation a legislation that suited that time, that place, and that particular nation. For example, Bani Israel had a different legislation to us. But the fundamental of the religion, La ilaha illallah, stayed the same in all these books. And also we should be grateful for Allah's favor. Grateful to Allah for His favor. He sent down His books for us. Next pillar of Iman is the belief in the Rusul or the messengers. And I won't write it down because it's very similar to this that we've already written. That we have to believe that the message that they came with is truly from Allah. It's the same as the first point in a way. That we have to believe in those messengers whose names we know specifically and those whose names we don't know in a general way. We know that, in fact some scholars mention a hadith, some scholars say that there's 124,000 messengers. Some scholars say it wasn't that. Allah knows best. So we have to have a general belief that Allah sent messengers to every nation. Whether we know about their names or not, there's 25 messengers mentioned in the Quran. Thirdly, we have to believe what is authentically reported from their news. So we have to attest to the authenticity of what they say, if it is proven that they really have said such and such. And fourthly, we have to act upon the Sharia, the legislation of our messenger sent to us. Belief in the last day, Al-Yawm Al-Akhir, has three matters. Firstly, we believe that we will be resurrected. That we will be brought back to life after death. We have to believe in the recompense and the reckoning, that we will be judged. We will be accounted for and we will be rewarded or punished. And the third point, is that we believe in the hellfire and the paradise. Like I said, every act of, every belief, every aqidah should directly affect our iman. From the angle, when we believe in the hellfire, and we think about the day, on the day, when we think about the day in which there will be no shade, it should make our hearts tremble. It should allow us to obey Allah's commands easier, because we know that one day we'll be rewarded for our actions, for our deeds, for our struggle in this life. الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُسْلِمِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ The dunya, this life, this world, is a prison. A prison, brothers and sisters, for the Muslim. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ And it's a paradise for the disbeliever. What does a person do in prison? He's locked up. He's waiting to get out. This is the role of the Muslim in this life. And the Jannah, the paradise, the dunya is a paradise for the disbeliever. He can do whatever he wants. And why not? Because he doesn't have a God. He doesn't believe in a reckoning, that he will be reckoned. He doesn't believe that he will be given his books in his right or left hand. He doesn't believe in the balance. And then we have al-qadr, the good and the bad thereof. Which again has four, or encompasses four beliefs. Qadr or predestination. One, that Allah knows and knew everything. Both the general and the details about the past, the present, and the future. Allah knows. So Allah's knowledge encompasses all things. He knows everything that happened. He knows everything that is happening. He knows everything that will happen. As opposed to some deviated sect who believe that Allah does not know anything, or He only knows what has happened and what is happening. But He doesn't know the future, according to these people. until the thing happens. No, Allah knows everything. And He's always known everything. He's Al-Alim, the All-Knower. The Kitaba of Allah, His writing. So Allah wrote everything in Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. So one of the first things that He created was the pen, the qalam. And then He ordered the pen to write everything that's going to happen until Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Thirdly, that all created things only come into existence by the will of Allah. So whenever Allah wills for something to be created, He says, Kun fayakun. He said, be and it is. And this leads on to the fourth matter, which is that all beings are created by Allah. That's generally the belief in Qadr. That we know that Allah Ta'ala knows, He's already written down what our rizq is going to be. And all this helps in our tawakkul in Allah and so on and so forth. So, actions as well. That includes actions. The fourth one includes actions. So, believing in Qadr allows us to depend on Allah. And it saves a person from having an high opinion of himself upon the achievement of his objective. You should know that Allah Ta'ala has already decreed this. It's a favor from Allah. He's already written this down for him. He should know and he should have peace and tranquility concerning that which befalls him of calamities. He should know it's already been written and preordained by Allah. He should know that any good that comes to him has already been written by Allah, and any evil that comes to him has already been written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was Iman. Then the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab continues, Al-Martabatu Thalitha, Al-Ihsan. Just looking for the slide. The third level is Ihsan. The third level is Al-Ihsan. Ruknun wahid. It has one pillar. وَهُوَ أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And it has a single pillar, which is that you worship Allah as if you are seeing Him. And even though you don't see him, he surely sees you. And then he brings his evidences. وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقُوا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who have taqwa and with those who are muhsinun, those who have perfected ihsan, who have this, reached this pillar of ihsan. And also the statement of Allah, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah says, and place your reliance in the Almighty, the Bestower of Mercy. He who sees you when you stand to pray, and sees your movement along with those who follow you in prayer. Your Lord is one who hears, and He is the All-Knower. And then he mentions the third ayah, وَمَا تَكُونُوا فِي شَأْنٍ وَمَا تَتْلُوا مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا إِذْ تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ. Which means you are not involved in any matter, talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor do you recite the Qur'an, nor do you do any action except that we are witnessing your deeds when you do them. See, in the first ayah, he's talking about the people who have ihsan, the people of ihsan, the muhsinun. In the second ayah, Allah is talking about the movement, that Allah sees everything. He sees you praying, He sees your movements, and He sees those who you pray with. And likewise in the third ayah, Allah explains how He sees everything that a person does. So this is generally ihsan, that you worship Allah as though you see Allah. But even though you don't see Allah, He surely sees you. So how would it be if a person saw Allah? If a person sees a king or a person of high status in this world, imagine what that person would be like. Imagine if somebody saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If any of us got the chance to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we knew that this was him, would we be in the state that we're in? If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knocked on our doors and asked to enter, how would we react? How would, if he stayed with us for a week or a few days, how would we be? How would our prayers be? How would our iman be? Know, O people, that there is one who is far greater than the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who sees us all the time. He sees us all the time, from beginning till the end of time. He knows everything that we are doing. He knows and hears everything that we say, that we hear, that we do, what our hands do, what all our various parts of our body do. He knows whether we are obeying Allah, whether we are disobeying Allah. So if we would be in such a state, a high state of iman, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with us, and that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was watching us, then how would we be, brothers? Or how should we be? That the one who created the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is watching us all the time. If we could see Allah our ibadah, our salawat. Can you imagine the prayers? Can you imagine our prayers, our khushu' in our prayers? Imagine our day-to-day dealings with one another. Imagine our manners, akhlaq, our different acts of worship. This is what is ihsan. Because even though you don't see Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, He surely sees you. Ask Allah to make us of those who are muhsinun. Then the Shaykh brings in evidence, the lengthy hadith that some of you may have memorized. Second hadith that Imam An-Nawawi has in his 40 hadith. He says, وَالدَّلِيلُ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ حَدِيثُ جِبْرَائِيلَ الْمَشْهُورِ. And the dalil of evidence from the sunnah is the famous hadith of Jibreel. This hadith is known as the hadith of Jibreel or Jibreel. An Umar radiallahu anhu qal, upon the authority of Umar radiallahu anhu said, بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد السواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر الصفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج تحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا قال صدقت فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره قال صدقت قال فأخبرني عن الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك قال فأخبرني عن الساعة قال ما المسؤول عنه ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة الأراء العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان قال فمضى فلبثنا مليا فقال يا عمر أتدري من السائل قلت الله ورسوله أعلم قال هذا جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم أمر دينكم which means that Umar radiallahu anhu, he's narrating that whilst we were sitting in the presence of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, a man came to us having very white clothes, extremely white clothes and extremely black hair. There was no trace of travelling to be seen upon him, and nor did any of us know him. So he came and sat down with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and put his knees against his knees and placed his palms upon his thighs and said, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inform me about Islam. Tell me what is Islam. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam is that you testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he established the prayer, paid the zakah, fast in Ramadan, and perform the Hajj to the house if you are able to do so, to the house, yani the Kaaba. He said, you have spoken the truth. Jibreel came, he asked the question, and he said, you've spoken the truth. He said, so we were amazed. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I was amazed, and we were amazed. Then he asked him a question, and then he tells him, you have spoken the truth. who said, it is that you truly believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and that you truly believe in predestination, in Qadr, it's good and it's evil. He said, you have spoken the truth. He said, then inform me about Ihsan. Tell me, what is Ihsan? He said, Ihsan is that you worship Allah as if you were seeing Him. And even though you do not see Him, He certainly sees you. He said, then inform me of the last hour, of the last day, of the hour. He said, the one who is asked about it knows no better than the one who is asking. He said, then inform me about its signs. He said that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress, and that you will see the barefooted, unclothed, and destitute shepherds competing in the building of tall buildings. He said, so he left, Umar radiallahu anhu says, so he left, and we remained for some time. And then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked me, oh Umar, do you know who the questioner was? I replied, Allah and His Messenger know best, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, that was Jibreel, he came to teach you your religion. So this hadith summarizes the three levels of ihsan, of Islam. Those being Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. And since we've explained them, inshallah, there's no need to further explain this hadith. I ask Allah Ta'ala to allow us to be of the muhsinun, mu'minun, and the muslimun. I ask Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala to allow us to practice that which we preach and that which we learn. And I ask Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala to allow us to benefit ourselves and to benefit others from all that we learn and teach. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We'll break for about 15 minutes inshallah, and then we'll complete the last part and the last principle of this risala, of this treatise, inshallah. Tabaraka Ta'ala, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.